Penguin Random House Audio presents Coming Home by Brittany Griner with Michelle Burford. Read for you by Andia Winslow. With the prologue, epilogue, and acknowledgments read by the author.
For Rail, you will forever be my home. Prologue, before February 15, 2022. My eyelids slide open. Tuesday. Already? Fuck. Me and Rail lie in a tumble of sheets, the Arizona sun pouring into our bedroom. I groan. This trip overseas, this final stretch, it came so fast. When's your flight again? My wife asks. 10:25, I mumbled. I glanced at my phone. 7 a.m. I'm a stickler for time. My dad was military. Law enforcement. If I'm on time, I'm late. Not today, Pops. Haven't even finished packing. I'm still on yesterday. I'm still on Rail and me. Yesterday, a Valentine's Day with my wife that almost didn't happen. My season has been the whirlwind they all are. Hooping for the Phoenix Mercury from May to October, playing in Russia October to April. 3 one-week breaks to fly home and see my baby. 3 short-ass trips to make me miss her more. Before this break, I get COVID. My team, UMMC Ekaterinburg, are reigning champs of EuroLeague. I'm on the practice court preparing to throw down in Spain when I suddenly feel like death. I test positive, and so does half the team. Game over. Break here. You need a negative PCR test to get into America, the team doc tells me. Google disagrees. A search reveals the rules have just changed, and I insist on a less sensitive antigen test. The team has its reasons for wanting us to stay. Might get home and be too sick to return. Might miss games. Might jeopardize our shot at another title. Great reasons, but I have better ones. My back, my knees, my ankles, all in throbbing pain, yet nothing compared to my heart. It aches for Rail, for the season to be done. I've quietly decided it's my last. I test negative and cough my way to Phoenix through a mask. 7 days at home, only 6 given the time difference. 4 spent feeling like crap. I'm finally on my feet the night before our special day. I'm going big this year, bigger than I've since we met. Our paths first crossed at Baylor in Waco, Texas. I was a sophomore and star baller. She was brand new and fine as hell. I stopped by the food court for my usual chocolate shake, and as soon as I picked it up, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned and saw this girl, cute and classy, with a scarf on her neck and curves for days. "Excuse me, I think that's mine," she said, pointing at my cup. This was my shake, no doubt about it, but one look at her and I let that go. "My bad," I said, handing it to her. She took it and smiled. "And I think it's rude you don't remember my name," she said. I stared at her. "Had we met? I know your name," I said, trying to be slick. "So what is it?" she clapped back. "Busted." "Okay, I don't remember your name," I said. "But if you tell me, I promise I'll never forget." We cracked up. "Actually, we haven't met," she said, extending her hand. "I'm Sherelle Watson." 13 years of love and friendship later, Rail still claims I stole her shape. Wrong. But I don't argue, because I clearly came out ahead. I found my person and my place all at once. I had no real place before I met Rail. When you're 6'9" and wear a size 17 men's sneaker, you don't fit. Not in cars, not in chairs, not in beds, not in crowds. And definitely not in a world that mistakes you for what it most fears, a black man. Your presence is a threat. Your blackness intimidates. Your height and swagger add to the alarm. You walk through the world on high alert, scanning your surroundings and holding your breath. Lower your guard for even a second and boom, you might be taken out. Many have, more will. We're home, but not home free. We're seen, but through a warped lens. That was why I started hooping. It made me feel truly visible. It also made me feel less like an outsider, a giant with no titties. When you're still flat-chested by the eighth grade, people talk. Girls in the locker room point and whisper, "Is she a boy? A dyke? A freak? Why is her voice so low? Is she tucking? Hiding a penis in her underwear?" The stares, the taunts, they hurt like hell, much like the sorrow I carried around. What's wrong with me? And when will I be normal? Basketball was my normal. On court, I wasn't a weirdo. I was an athlete above all, a starter always. 40 minutes of acceptance, 4 quarters of sanity. At 15, I found my sport, my identity. At 16, I dunked my way to fame with a YouTube video that went viral. In the world, I was a riddle. But in the arena, I was a star. I soared. I slammed. I sold tickets. I was applauded, affirmed, celebrated. I had never felt at home in my skin. Basketball brought me the closest. And then I met Rail. That freedom I experienced while hooping, I felt it all the time with her. At Baylor and beyond, we had our ups and downs, and we were best friends when I asked her to marry me. In 2018, we wed, no fuss or fanfare, just the two of us with a promise. We do, we will, forever. By then, our love had been tested by my long stints in China, in Russia, on the road. They continued. Rail was in law school in North Carolina, living between there and our home in Phoenix. Zoom kept us close. The distance kept things exciting. That's the upside of distance. You meet your lover fresh each time you come together, and then while you're apart, you support each other's grind. The downside is the longing, the absence of touch. As we watched Grey's Anatomy together on FaceTime, I imagined holding Rail in my arms. That got old. I was tired of missing home, missing holidays, missing us. I was also legit exhausted. Your body takes a beating in this sport, and I've been pounding mine for 15 years. When the YouTube dunk caught fire in 2007, so did my career. Next thing I knew, I was meeting Shaq, who'd seen the video. Life sped up. 3-time All-American, number 1 overall WNBA draft pick, WNBA All-Star, a historic Nike deal, 2 Olympic golds, 4 EuroLeague titles, honors on and on. One blessing after another. With big battles behind the scenes, a cracked back so painful I couldn't sleep. 0 cartilage in my knees, life under the microscope and on the road. With no steady home, no stability. Every sport has an off-season, but pro women hoopers often work year-round. We earn about 250 times less than NBA players and have a hard cap on our salaries. In the WNBA that year, I made around $220,000. Overseas, I earned $1 million+. That pay gap is why I was in Russia in the first place. A few months before my Valentine's Day visit, my agent and I negotiated a Thanksgiving break. It was my first time in years I'd been home on the actual holiday, and my wife threw down in the kitchen. Ham, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and my favorite, homemade honey bun cake. My mom and my nephew EJ flew in from Houston. Rail, a preacher's kid from Arkansas, gave me the tradition I craved. On that break, something in me said, "This is it. I can't go back." I take pride in being a breadwinner. Promise Rail I always provide. That was why I teared up when I told her, "Baby, I'm done." She hugged me. She already sensed it. "You're not the only source of income," she reminded me. She'd soon have her law degree. Also, we found other ways for me to earn. I honestly wanted to quit right then, but I had to honor my contract. Dad drilled that into me growing up. Finish what you start. So we decided I'd complete this one last season before leaning into the next one. We'd find a church. We'd grow our family. We'd be together, finally.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?